Matthew chapter 18, and it's really most of what come to my mind was about prayer, but these verses, I started asking the Lord, well, what verses you want me to go to, and this come to mind of what I needed to do, not the Lord's Prayer. Or what they say is the Lord's Prayer. Really, the real Lord's Prayer is John 17. But the model prayer, I should say, that we're supposed to copy off of. I was going to go to that, and the Lord's like, no. And so this is where I went to. Chapter 18. And it would help if I told you what verse, huh? So basically, I want to give you a quick little... Discipline in the church is important, and we've had some of that over the years, and we've had some people just up and leave over the years. We've had some people ask to leave over the years, and we've had people that we need to be praying for. Sometimes people just can't come to church due to sickness and things of that nature. For years, there were several of our elderly here, they've passed now, but I would go visit them all the time because they couldn't make it to church anymore. But I wanted to go over this because we need to be praying for many things. But do we truly understand what prayer can do? Prayer is very important. Well, in Ephesians chapter 6, the Lord gives all of this armor that we're to have on. But the last thing he says, prayer. Because you can have all that armor on all you want, but if you ain't praying, I don't think it's going to help you a whole lot. Prayer is very important. there was a lot of prayer made for Peter at one time. And things took place. We could get into all that, but I wanted to touch on this. We'll start with 17 maybe. No, let's start with 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Verse 20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now, you need to remember, for one, very important, who he was speaking to. He was speaking to his church. It wasn't just a general population that he's talking to. He was talking to his church. I honestly believe that outside, yes, the Lord hears prayers, but outside of his scriptural New Testament church, it don't matter if it's one of you or 30 of you, that's not what that verse is talking about. That verse is talking about in a scriptural New Testament church that if two or more come together, the Lord's in the midst of that. And I believe the Bible teaches that. Now, when the problem, and we don't have anything going on, by the way, praise the Lord, at least right now. But when the problem is told to the church, there is a huge opportunity for a lot of time for prayer. And I believe we've done that in the past. We've had people that we've removed from the church. We've had people just quit. And we've had people that were asked to be removed. And that's okay, but we're to continue praying for these people. It doesn't, you know, when they go out the door, you just, okay, thank God, and Ford or whatever they drive, and they're gone. Well, I've been guilty of thinking that sometimes. Thank the Lord and Dodge, they drove off. I mean, because they were a problem. But we need to remember, we need praying for them. Amen. You know, I used to have preachers tell me, oh, there'll be some people you'll love for them to come. And you'll hate to see them go, but there's others you'll help get out the door. And I'm like, and I understand what they mean. But nonetheless, we've got to pray for people. You see, there's two people in churches. I heard a guy say this the other night. I was listening to a preacher. He said there's people with problems. That's most of the church. I'm going to say, really, it's probably all of us. But there's also problem people. They just cause problems. That's just what they want to do. They're full of drama, and if you took all that away from them, they'd go nuts. Because that's what they live for. And that's a shame. I got more important things to do than have drama in my life, but that's the kind of people who are in churches. So when people do these things, we're to pray for those people. We're not just forget about them. We're to pray for them. Now, the Lord said, if they don't listen to you, if they go ahead and do their thing and they just give it all up for whatever, and he says, you treat them as a heathen man or a publican. I'm like, well, honestly, the Jews, traditional Jewish law, really forbade a Hebrew to associate, eat, or travel with a heathen. And if a Jew became a publican, not a Republican, but a publican, he was excommunicated. I mean, listen, they looked down on poor old Zacchaeus. He was a dog. And Matthew, the guy we're reading from, he was horrible because he was a publican. And that's the way they looked at him when Jesus said, hey, Matthew, come on with me. Oh, he's like, what? You know, of course, he wasn't in the Jewish synagogue, but that was their tradition. Now, Christian love, though, has modified this. The Lord showed us in the Bible about how he was, and I hate to use that word, but I couldn't think of a better word. But how he modified some things. And, you know, for here, I'll give you one he modified real quick. Where's that? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, if they were caught, they were stoned to death. Well, that ain't hard to do. You see, old Joe got stoned. It's like, well, she's good looking, but she ain't worth that. you know, so you might have thought some things. Well, Jesus said, if you just think it, you've done it. So it's harder. This amazes me. People look at that and they think, oh, that's hard to do. It could, you know, and I would say it is, the Ten Commandments. I'll be honest with you, I ain't kept them all. Because if you messed up on one, they killed you. But it's harder living under grace to live like we ought to than what they had. Amen. It wasn't hard not to commit adultery. Like I said, when Joe got stoned, the other dude said, no. Now, he might have thought bad, but no, I ain't dying. I'll stick to my wife. You know, but Jesus said, well, now, if you've considered it, if you've thought it through, you guilty. I'm like, boy, that just takes all the, well, anyway, I better go on. She's back there looking at me with that face, and it's like, so we have to, seriously, we've got to guard our eyes. Amen? Amen. We really do. We've got to guard our thought life. Yes. Me, I have to guard my ears something fierce, because I like a lot of the old time classic rock, and I shouldn't have said that, and a lot of the country music I grew up on. What's most of that involve? Sex, drugs, and alcohol. And if it's country, you know, if you do things right, you can get your dog back, your truck back, maybe even your wife. But, you know, they were always losing their wife. But anyway, the rock and rollers just didn't see the point in getting married. But, all right, I better go on. So, Christian love modifies this restriction really to a degree, because for the attitude of a believer toward a heathen or a publican is that it's a concern. They got a root problem. You know, when we, let's say, what would a publican be today? Somebody give me an idea of what a publican, what would you think is a publican? Don't say, it ain't Republican. I'm a conservative. So, really, let's combine them. Heathen and publican. In other words, we see somebody out there that's all jacked up on drugs, and or maybe they're drunk, or maybe they're just horrible type people. Well, we ought to be praying for those folks.
Amen.
We ought to be. I'm not saying you've got to go associate with them, because the Lord says be careful with that.
Amen.
But we do need to pray for them. Listen, the Jews didn't. The Jews said, get away from him. Because that was what they were supposed to do. They were supposed to get rid of him. They excommunicated him out of the church. Gone. And they didn't care. And it was like, but hey, we need to be praying for him. What it does, though, when we do that, our attitude should be, it's a concern with spiritual warfare that's going on. When we have a Christian brother or sister, whether they leave or whether they walk out, we need to be praying for them, because they're under spiritual warfare.
Yes.
And they may not even realize what they're under, but they're under a big warfare going on in their lives, and it's a dangerous place to be. We don't treat lost people like lepers, or we shouldn't. We were all there at one time, amen? So we don't treat them like lepers. We try, or we should be, trying to win them to Christ. We shouldn't treat an excommunicated believer as piranhas, you know. But we should, honestly, we need to be seeking their repentance and their restoration back into the church. Back into the fellowship, because at the same time, we're denying them that they are going to participate in business. They're going to participate in the Lord's Supper, because we're not to bring them in and do that. The Lord said so, and so it's denying them a lot of important things. The means of grace that's linked really by the Holy Spirit with the communion of a local church. It's a special thing when we come together and participate in the Lord's Supper.
Amen.
It really is. It's a serious matter. Paul said some folk are dead because they're doing it wrong. That ain't good. Some people are sick because they were doing it wrong. Now, if I get sick, don't say, oh, Brother Jim, we're doing it wrong. No. We never know what's going on. That's why it's important to pray for these folk. They're in a bad situation in their lives, and they desperately need prayer. They're denied the access to the communion of the local church, but they're denied access to the Lord's table when we partake of the Lord's Supper, and any part of assembly and fellowship together. They're denied that. One reason, they ain't going to come, because the last person they want to be around are the people that make the guilt come to the top. You know, when I was out of the will of the Lord years ago, And running from the Lord, the last place I wanted to be was church. Because church made it all float up here. I didn't want to hang out with Christian friends. It was like, really? Because they want to, what do they want to do? They want to talk about Jesus. And they want to talk about all that. And I just didn't want that. It's like, no, that isn't what I wanted. So why does it work this way? 19 through 20, he says, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'll be in the midst. Now, why does it work that way? Christ, really, he's pledged. He's made a promise here that he will be present whenever the members of a local church meet. Amen. And the reason why I say local church is because you go back and look who he's talking to. It's his church is who he's talking to. So I have to say it's the local churches who he was discussing this with. When two or three of us come together, he meets in the midst of us. Let me break it down real simple. When the second member of fellowship arrives at the church and comes in, the Lord himself arrives.
Amen.
Now, well, Pastor, the Lord's always with me. Yes. If you're saved, if you're in here tonight and you trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, right here.
Amen.
It moved in. Can I explain it? No, but the Lord moved in. And so the Lord comes, is there with me. But what happened on the day of Pentecost? Well, yeah, but what happened before? Right as that began, what was the little thing that come down? It said, as tongues of fire. The Holy Spirit empowered the church that day. The Holy Spirit not only was living in each of those members, which at that time was 120 that we know of, but he empowered them.
Amen.
You see, that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. The church didn't start. The church started on the seashores of Galilee with Peter, James, and John, Peter, John, Matthew, and I can't name them all. You got them. What are they? No. No, you're like me. You ain't got them. Who raised your hand? Can you name all of the apostles? Stand up. I got to hear this. And if you mess up, I won't get mad at you. Learning, you'd be surprised what these guys know sitting back here.
Yes.
They're learning a bunch. Oh, he's hiding over there. I know he is too. He, you know, Logan sings pretty good. Yeah, he does. Oh, anyway, I got to get rolling. So, where was I at? Oh, that's who. The Lord started it with. But on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit empowered the church and stayed with it.
Amen.
Now, there's some churches that have lost. You ever heard of the candlestick being pulled?
Amen.
That's the Holy Spirit leaving that church.
Amen.
I've been in some churches, and I don't know this because I'm not the Lord,
There ain't no way I'd tell them this, but I've been in some churches you could have hung hogs in. It was so cold. And I'm like, nah, the spirit ain't been here in a long time. But you got to be careful. But there are churches that'll lose it. The Lord told them in Revelation, he said, you be careful, I'll come and pull your candlestick.
Right.
He'll take the power away. Well, that's the power that the Holy Spirit comes in when the second person arrives. He don't wait for 500 of us.
That's right.
It's when the second person arrives of that church, the Lord arrives. He comes in a special way. Yeah, he's already here with me.
Yes.
But when that second person shows up and we're going to get serious now, the Lord comes in.
Amen.
And he comes in with us, and things happen. They do. So really that's what the Lord is trying to tell us in this, is when we meet together as a church, the Lord arrives, and there's no meeting at which he's not present, okay?
Amen.
We may forget that fact. The Lord's always with us. And we may act as though maybe that the Lord ain't even here. But I got news for you. The Lord's here.
Amen.
When the church comes together, the Lord is here.
That's right.
Yes. And we need to remember that. That's why I talk about the sanctuary. We harp on these kids all the time. Don't run in here.
Amen.
We tell them, don't eat in here. Don't drink in here. Listen, it's a special place,
yeah,
as far as I'm concerned.
That's right.
When we all gather as a church, it's a special place.
Yeah.
And, you know, we need to be... There's another reason. I've had people come into the church that ain't seen a comb in their entire life. Apparently not. They have no idea between the difference of Walmart clothes and church clothes.
That's
the reason,
right,
I say Walmart clothes, because you go to Walmart and there are people in pajamas and house slippers, and it just amazes me what folk will go out in public in. And it's like, when we come here, sure, I don't think we got to wear a suit and tie. I'm not one of them people. I don't think it's all got to be the right tailored clothing, but we ought to try to do our best.
Amen.
Because we're coming, and the Lord is meeting with us here.
Amen.
And we tend to forget that. We tend to just think, well, the Lord's always with me. But it's in a special way when we come to the church that the Lord shows up. He shows up here for a purpose, and it may be because we're dealing with church membership. Excommunicating somebody. Maybe because somebody's sick. We got Sister Judy. She's pretty sick. More than likely, she's going to be face to face with the Lord here before long. He may leave her here for 5 more years. I don't know. But nonetheless, she's sick. We know other people there. Brother John's having issues with his heart. He's sick. All of us has got problems. Amen.
Amen.
That's good. Yeah, see, you like me, you got the second level of problems. I got to say amen again. but that's what the Lord does. Listen, the Lord's always present when his church members come in. Now, we may not always think so, but he is. And it's a divine present that really... what I want to say. Endows. That'll work. Been running through my library. Endows the church with really its unique dignity. Do you realize how powerful the church is?
Amen.
Listen, the church is higher up than Washington, D.C. ever considered being. It's way above that. The church surpasses all of that.
Yes.
People don't realize how powerful the Lord's church is.
Yes.
And how important the Lord's church is. It's very important. It goes way above all that. It's a divine presence.
Yes.
That they don't have. It's how gracious, really, and how glorious that, honestly, think of it this way.
The creator of the universe, the risen Christ, gathers with us.
Amen.
That, hey, that's amazing. When you think about that, I don't even know the right word for it. I guess the closest would be awesome or hallelujah. I mean, that he would come here with us. Bunch of sinners. Saved by grace, but we're still sinners. Amen?
Amen.
And what they need to realize is when a local church, people just, well, I'm done with it. And they walk out, or they're excommunicated, whatever it may be. They don't realize how much trouble they're in.
That's right.
They have no idea. Apparently they don't, or they wouldn't walk out on it.
That's right.
It's very dangerous.
Yes.
What they're doing. It's scriptural grounds of exclusion, or people that just decide, well, this ain't, I don't believe all of this hogwash. They're in grave danger. It's a serious matter. And basically what they've been is they've been cut off.
Yes.
And they don't understand that. It's an umbrella. The church is like an umbrella of protection.
Yeah.
And it's pouring down rain, and you're standing under there, so you dry.
Amen.
But you walk out from under it. Now, not rain around here, because it, what they call rain ain't rain. But I've seen some rains that when you walk out from under, it don't take but a second. You soaked.
Yes.
That's what happens to people. And honestly, some of these people don't even realize it. The whole matter of church discipline and sick people in the church and things, it needs to be bathed in prayer.
Amen.
We really should. We don't need to forget folk like that, because prayer is powerful. Prayer must seek the repentance and the restoration of these people. Jesus promised. He said, two of you or more gather together, I'm right there, and I'll agree with you. Now, don't get this wrong. They don't lose their salvation.
Amen.
You can't lose your salvation.
Right.
It's written down. It's sealed forever. You cannot lose that.
Amen.
But you can lose great rewards.
Right.
You can lose your how would I say that? You can lose your inheritance in Christ.
Amen.
Because really it is. It's an inheritance what we have. Oh, we going to heaven. You're going to go to heaven. What's Jude say? You get there, you're going to smell like hell, but you made it. That's it. Tail end was on fire, fanning the smoke, but they made it to heaven. That's what happens to a lot of people. Listen, I was there at one time. If I'd have died years ago, when I got there, I promise you, if Gabriel had been standing there, he'd have said, "Woo, you just barely made it." Well, here, let me. Listen, I was on the edge of it. And that's the way people get. They get to that point.
Yes.
And it's like, when I look back now, I think, man, how foolish.
Yeah.
How foolish.
Yes.
You know, but you can't see that. See, when you're in that situation of, well, I've disagreed with the pastor. Listen, it ain't about the pastor. You disagree with the Bible, you disagree with God. That's your problem. You better take it up with God. Don't get mad at me. Of course, a lot of them do, but don't get mad at me. Listen, I'm just a deliverer. So was Moses. They're going to stone him. But listen, they don't understand. They might even go out and join other churches. But listen, until there is repentance for what they're doing wrong, they're going to live miserable. They're going to be sick. They're going to have some problems. Because the church, honestly, prayer is us consulting with God.
Amen.
We consult to God about somebody that, well, Pastor, I just don't agree with everything, and they leave. Well, we consult with God about it. Well, so-and-so done something horrible, and we've had a couple of them that we've excommunicated over a couple of years ago, had to go. And I talked to them, We talked to them, two of us, three of us talked to them. They weren't interested. No. One. She let me know she's a lesbian, which I kind of knew anyway, but it's like, no. You got to change from that. I ain't changing. You got to go. We've had a couple of pedophiles. Got to go. Can't have that. And listen, they had to leave the church, and we consulted with God about it. Now, I'm not going to tell you they ain't saved. That's between God and them. But they went out there, and now they're out under that umbrella. They can get some serious situation out there. You see, when we consult with God, the church is that powerful. Now, we consult to God about sick people. There's folk in the church that are spiritually sick, people that are mentally, mentally. That didn't include me. Physically sick. And people get physically sick. And no, it ain't always COVID. But we get sick. And we need to be praying for these people. We consult to God about that. But we need to remember that it needs to be in the Lord's will.
Amen.
You see, the Lord's Prayer, as people call it, I'll call it the model prayer. He said, "How should we pray? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done." There you go. You see, too many times, it ain't thy will be done. You want my will to be done.
Yes.
Your will to be done. It's the Lord's will.
Amen.
Now, it may be the Lord's will to take somebody on. And it's not my will to go. But you got to leave that in the Lord's hands. And when we do that, when we give it to God, trust me. When you give it to God, it'll all come out good. He don't mess up. See, the Lord don't mess up. We mess up, but the Lord don't mess up. Prayer was made for Peter. Peter gets arrested. James got his head chopped off. Herod's deciding, well, they like that so much, I'm going to take care of old Peter too, because he's kind of the head. And I love that story. He come in and woke him up and drug him out there, and he finally woke up like, oh, I ain't dreaming. But prayer was made for him from the church. They consulted with God.
Yes.
And by the way, it says they did it all night long. James says we need to pray for the sick.
Amen.
And we need to remember this. Hebrews says we can come boldly.
Yes.
Boldly to the throne. I don't have to go meandering up to the throne. No, I can come boldly to the throne of grace and bring out my prayer request to the Lord, plead to Him, but in His will. That's it. You know, one thing we lack that the church then lacked, had, and honestly, and some of you will know what I'm talking about in here. Me and Brother Louis talked about it before. When I was a young guy, when I was a teen or kid mostly, it started changing somewhere in my teen years. We'd be in churches in revival that had been going on for 2 and 3 weeks.
That's right.
Yeah. And little old ladies, you'd come up here, no offense. Little old ladies like my wife would come up here and they'd be praying and name who they're praying for that they're sinning and ought to be getting their life right. Out loud.
Amen.
They do. I know a guy. He passed on, went to heaven, named Lloyd Sewell. And there's another guy named Sigil Sears. And they both lived in Kentucky. And I got to meet them both. And Sigil was the town drunk. And he came into the revival one night, and Brother Sewell was preaching. By the way, it was a month revival. They've got a picture on a wall of somewhere about 300 or 400 people going down the Kentucky River to get baptized.
Amen.
Yeah.
But Lloyd Sewell's in there preaching, and Central Sears shows up drunk, sits down right in the back, and behaving himself. They said Sewell just put his Bible down and walked back there and looked him right square in the face and said, "Sigil, you're going to die and go to hell, and you're going to do it drunk, and you're going to stay there forever. He said, you better get it together." And he walked off. Sigil got him left. You know, he's one of them that got baptized. He came back. He got saved. He got baptized. And was a preacher for over 60 years, pastor churches in Kentucky for over 60 years. You see, it's because of prayer, all these little old ladies out there and these men and the old men out, they were all praying for this man. Because they said, he needs to get saved. They were tired of it. It might not even been because they loved him. They were just sick of him wandering around town drunk. We need to fix this. Guess who can fix it? The Lord can fix it. So we do. We need to be serious about prayer because, listen, prayer can get things done. And I'll tell you a quick story. Be careful how you pray. A man named... Oh, it's all right. Everybody knows it. A man named Wendell Butt. He's Larry Butt's uncle. They live down in Kentucky. He told me one time, actually told the class I was in. He said, "Be careful how you pray." He said, "I took the pastorate of a church." He said, "My deacons." He said, "Good grief." He said, "They were horrible." He said, "So I started praying. Lord, you need to kill that one. You kill that one, get them out of here, take them on to heaven." He said, "But the problem is," he said, "all my good ones started dying." He said, "And I said, oh, I better change my prayer." He said, "Lord, remove them from the church because they're an issue for me." But he said, "I'll leave it up to you what you do with them." He said things got better. He said most of them got things right with him. And he said it worked out good. We have to be careful how we're praying because prayer is serious. It's more serious than anything we can think of. It's a very powerful tool we have. If we can go before the throne of grace, where's the throne of grace? It's in heaven. If we can go before the throne of grace with our prayers seriously, in unity with each other, the power of the Holy Spirit, you'd be surprised what'll get done. Amen. We know people that are lost. We need to be praying for them. We know some folk that are not living like they should. They ought to be in church and they ain't. We know some people that are sick. But we do need to leave it to the Lord. We got to give it to Him. Lord, if it's your will, then we'd love to keep them around. But it's your will, got to be done. Lord, these people that we know are living wrong, these people we know that disagree with your word, Lord, work in their hearts. Yes. Let them open their eyes. Let them realize they need to ask forgiveness and they need to get their life right.
Amen.
Your will be done.
Amen.
You always got to do that. You got to give it to the Lord. Jesus gave us that example. In the Garden of Gethsemane, "If the cup can pass before me, but your will be done."
Amen.
And that's what happened. Praise the Lord that He gave it to God. Amen.
Amen.
I like